thanks for joining us today. And let me ask you an early question. Are you learning anything through this series? Let me hear you. Come on, come on. Good, good, because here's the next question. Are you applying what you're learning? Because as you walk through this, this can be some challenging stuff, and today's lesson is also challenging. It's another good one, but I think it's going to be tough for some of us. And just got out of the other service, and they were like, man, this was a good one again, so I'm hoping that it's helping you, because as I say every week, I'm preaching to myself, son. I want you to know that. I'm working on it just like you are. Where are we going today? Well, it's 1 Corinthians 13:4, when it says, love does not envy. Now, you're probably going, man, I don't know if this is a big deal to me. Some of you may not even know really what envy is. So I ran across this image when I started searching envy, and there's a movie coming out called Inside Out 2. Anybody remember Inside Out 1? It was all about your emotions, anger and sadness and all that. But hiding down in that little, you know, the little cut there, I don't know what it is. It's the little one. It's the cute one. This is envy right here. She's cute, but she's evil. Can I get an amen? All right. You know, they really do good at cartoons and stuff, but there's more to it than just a little cute cartoon. If you look at God's word, this is a definition of what envy is. It's resenting God's goodness to others while you ignore God's goodness to yourself, to you. And all of us can be guilty at times. It really is the power behind all other sins. Envy is right there at the root of that. When you look at James 3, it tells you that. It says, wherever there is envy, you'll find every kind of evil. So actually, Pixar got it right. It's like, she's cute, but there's a lot of devious stuff going on in there. Now, some of you are going, come on, man, really every kind of evil? Yeah, really every kind of evil. For example, pretty serious issue that we all battle in this culture, and that is anorexia. You think about this. At the heart of anorexia, and that is where you're looking at other people, body image issues, and you begin to say, man, I wish I looked like them. I wish I had their physique or whatever. And you struggle with that. And that lie and that messed up mentality, that envy begins to eat you up. It's not just that. There's so many other things. Bitterness is another one, where you start resenting that people have things or have accomplished things that you've never had or accomplished. And so it begins to root up inside of you. That's what bitterness does to you. And I look at Ecclesiastes 4:4, and it says this. When you think about your work, your jobs, I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things their neighbors have. Now, you may not be guilty of that, but I can tell you a lot of Americans are. We have a tendency to look at what everybody else has, and we start going, man, why did they get that? And I wish I had that. It could be our body. It could be our the things we own, our houses, our cars. There's another one, though. You know, we talk about all kinds of evil. How about gossip? When we build ourselves up and we tear other people down out of envy, you begin to just kind of talk, and tear them up and gossip about this. Why? Because we want to feel better while we tear up everyone else. Now, if you're like me and you have a wife who watches all these Dateline shows, can I get anybody out there know what I'm talking about? We don't understand why all you wives are addicted to murdering their husbands, these TV shows and stuff. We're nervous, all right? We're nervous. But if you watch Dateline or any one of those shows, what do they all talk about? It's envy. They envy another couple. They envy the company they work for or the relationship they have. And man, they're killing people over it. And you're going, man, this is crazy what's happening. But it is a part of our culture. It really is the world we live in. Proverbs says it like this. You ready? A heart at peace, right? It gives you life. But envy literally rots you to the bone. It's when you begin to look at everybody else or every other situation and go, why me? And why are they got that and I don't? So if you really want to destroy, if you want to rot your relationships with your family, your friends, your business, or even, for me, your ministry or your church, you let envy grab a hold of you and you don't let it let go of you. And that's what begins to destroy every part, every relationship that you have, family, friends, whatever else may be going on. As we start working through this, you might not understand fully what the word envy means, and I've kind of given a little working definition, but how about jealousy? There's another word for it. You begin to just get jealous, like, why do they have to look that way? Why do they make that money? Why do they live there? And you just start working through all of those things. So the question is how do we keep envy from grabbing a hold of us? What are we going to do to go, all right, I got to get through this, and I don't want to live like this, and I don't want to be like this? Well, Matthew 20 is where we're going, and Jesus is going to help us. And this is a pretty cool story, but it's kind of tripped out too, all right? This is about some workers, and it's about getting paid for a job that they're doing. It starts in Matthew 20, verse 1, when it says, one morning, this is before 9 o'clock in the morning, man, early in the morning, a man goes out very early, and he hires some people to do a job. He also agrees to pay the workers one silver coin for working the entire day. It's fair enough. Hey, you come work for me today, I'm going to pay you a fair wage. This is what it looks like. Now, as he starts working through that, he also understands, and this is where Jesus is telling the story, he don't have enough workers. So a couple hours later, about 9 in the morning, the man goes to a marketplace. He sees a lot of people standing around, some more people, different people than the first working group. And he says, hey, y'all want to go to work? And he says, yeah, and if you do, I will pay you what your work is worth. Now, he's a little more vague. There's no specific amount told here. So he told the first ones, I'm going to give you a silver coin for the day's work. The next group's like, hey, man, I'm going to pay you what's fair. And then, believe it or not, he goes two more times out. He goes, hires at noon, and then he hires at 3. Those are in the scripture. I kind of left those out because it's the same story over and over again. But we come back into the story because here we are at the end of the day, 5 o'clock. End of the day, man, it's about working day. But look, he still needs more workers. 5 o'clock, he sees some other people standing around. He says, hey, why are you standing around doing nothing? They said, well, nobody gave us a job. So he said, all right, you can go and work in my vineyard. So he has been going since before dawn, and then he started working 9 to 5, son. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say 9 to 5?
Working 9 to 5.
About it, man. That's the thing. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. You heard Dolly say it, working 9 to 5. These guys have been working from 7 to 5. And what you got to catch in the story is that everybody's getting paid. They say they're going to get something paid here, but this is what's going to trip you out. Sounds like it's going to be easy. You work, you get paid. Here we come. When they got to payday and they get their silver coin, what does that little underlined section say? Come on, help me out. They complained. Now, why in the world they complain? Man, you've worked, you got your pay. Well, let's see. They started saying, hey, wait a second. We got here before dawn and we got one silver coin. And these other people who started at 5 o'clock got paid also one silver coin. You paid them the same as us. We worked hard all day and this is fair? This is fair? Jesus is telling the story, remember. But I also want to remind you, it's what they agreed to, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of what they said. He didn't go to them and say, hey, I'm not going to treat you fairly. He's like, hey, if you work, no matter what it is, this is your payment. I agree. Then I'm going to go work. And it's true. The people that started at 5 got better results. It was easier on them than the people who started before dawn. You go, Justin, that's just not fair. What's the point of Jesus' story? You ready? If you want envy to destroy your life, start comparing yourself to somebody else. See, we all look at someone else's business. Wow, I can't believe, look how successful they are. Look at what they're going through. Oh my God, why are they so successful? I'm working hard, I deserve that. You look at someone else's body, their physique, and you go, man, why am I always gotta be the fat guy? Little Debbie's, all right, moving on, all right, you understand. It's like, why do I always have to do this, or why is it them, or why is it that? And we begin to compare ourselves, and envy and jealousy begin to eat us up. Matthew 20, and this is where Jesus comes back. In this story, he said, why would you be jealous because I'm generous to someone else? See, this is where Jesus is going. I know it doesn't make sense, but if there's a lesson to grab a hold of, it's like love does not envy. And it's this idea of saying, man, when you begin to compare yourself, there's only going to be two outcomes. You can be prideful or you can be envious. When you start comparing yourself and looking at somebody, you're like, man, thank God I don't look like him. Or, man, I wish I looked like him. Guy was walking out of the theater a minute ago. Man, he was jacked, son. I was like, I ain't gonna lie. I still got envy in me. I'm like, why can't I look like him? He looked at me. You don't work out, fool. That's why. All right. I'm like, all right, enough said. But we're still envious, aren't we? So you look at somebody else's company. You look at someone else's house, their cars, their boat, whatever it is, man, their life. This is what happens to all of us. I think in America, we're really guilty of this, too. You get a job promotion or you get overlooked for a job promotion. So if you get the job promotion, you're prideful. If you get overlooked, you're envious. You get a job position, you're like, hey, you understand, how come they got it and I didn't get it? And it eats you up. It begins to mess with you. Sports is even worse. Right now, we got kids. My kids played soccer. I played baseball through, you know, early part of high school. And I can tell you, I can remember being envious over who was starting and who was not starting. Why did they get to go in, coach? What about me? Why are they on the team? Some of them even made the team. Sometimes we didn't make the team. Man, in middle school, I tried out for basketball and didn't make the team. I remember it crushed me. And then there were some kids on there. I'm like, he don't deserve to be on there. I was envious, bitter. You could go to family stuff, from your kids to why did he get this and I didn't get this. You could go to all kinds of areas in your life. But here is the goal of all of us today. The scripture is trying to help us. Jesus is trying to help us through this story. And he's like, man, listen, trust me in this. Because whatever happens, our goal is to always be thankful. Now just put yourself on a scale. How thankful are you? And is it no matter what happens? Are you like, man, I'm thankful when it goes my way. I am thankful when I win. I'm thankful when I make more money. I'm thankful when I'm beating the competition. Are you always thankful? Hebrews 13, you ready for this? Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be satisfied with what you have. Are we satisfied? I know this preacher's not. I find myself going, man, I want this, or I wish I had that, or I'm envious over that. And I'm like, God, I don't want to live like this. I don't want this to take a hold of me. And here's the thing. If you have accomplished something, I could look at the church world. We're like, we're in the middle of the boardwalk, and we're getting all these things going, and I'm really excited about it. I'm like, man, don't be prideful about it. Then at the same time, somebody go, well, did you hear what they're doing, though? Y'all ain't doing nothing. Did you hear what they're doing? And then you're like, I'm going to kill you right now in front of everybody. No, I'm just kidding. It's the thing that happens is you either get angry about it, you get mad about it, or resentful about it, or you get prideful. So you start going, man, neither one of these are good, so what am I going to do about it? Proverbs tells us this. Pride is the first step towards what? Destruction. So I'm like, man, God, I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to destroy the church. I don't want to destroy my life, my family, my friends. Don't let me go down this road. Proud thoughts will lead us to defeat. If we're going to battle through this, we got to recognize it, deal with it, and really ask God to help us overcome it. Why? Because he hates pride. Look at Proverbs. I hate it. I hate when you're arrogant. So in our culture in America, we love it. Man, be prideful. Man, you got to do it. Man, I like his arrogance. He's ready. God's going, man, not with me. And here's what he's calling us to. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, if he's really going to impact our lives and change the world, then this love overtakes us, and then we learn to be happy with those that are happy. Someone else wins, another business does well, another church knocks it out of the park, another kid starts on the baseball team, the basketball team, you're like, man, I am just happy for you. And let's be honest, we ain't there yet. This is why this matters, because God has really got to change us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're like, Lord, come into me and give me the strength that I need to be able to do that. Because in the flesh and on my own, I am not there. I look at someone else's body and want it. I'll look at someone else's career or their money and I want it. I look at somebody else's house or whatever it is, and we begin to just let it eat us up. And guess what happens? When you look back at that story that Jesus was talking about, being happy for the person that got the good win is the very opposite of what you see in that story. They're mad, weren't they? They begin to complain about it. Why did he get the same pay as me? Where what he's calling us to is like, man, I'm so thankful you got blessed, man. I'm thankful that you got blessed. Man, it'll come back to me. Somehow, some way, God's going to turn it around for us. See, because love, and what makes love powerful, it celebrates other people's wins. And you and I have a choice. If this is the bottom line, envy is a choice. Just like being satisfied and being overwhelmed with other people's joy, like, man, I am celebrating with you, that's a choice. So what are you going to do? You're going to be envy? You know, you're going to be full of envy, or are you going to be full of pride, or are you going to go, man, I'm so excited for you, man. I'm so really just rejoicing with you that that happened in your life. And then when you get to that point, look at Ecclesiastes. We can enjoy what we have. rather than desiring what you don't have. See, this is where you're talking about your kids. Man, this is the whole thing. You're raising kids. You got kids in church. This is why, as parents, you set the example. We set the example. This is why you tell them, it's like, hey, listen, man, be thankful what you have. All my kids got ghetto used cars. Can I get an amen? What, what? Why? And they're like, Dad, did you see what they got? I'm like, you ain't them, cuz. You a preacher kid, all right? Man, I got a hoopty, but you can walk, all right? Jesus walked everywhere. You want to be like Jesus? Start walking, all right? Or you can be thankful for what you have. You can go, man, I'm so, so thankful. Now, don't mean you can't dream. I tell my kids, dream all the time, man. Even Daddy got a dream. Listen, I can look right now. Here's my dream. There it is right there. I can see it. Surfboat, son. We can just hop that wave, son, enjoy it. But let me tell you something. Dreaming ain't the problem. You can want to accomplish things. The problem is when you begin to resent that someone else has it. So if you're a kid and you're going, man, I want this nice car, there's nothing wrong with that. But then whenever you begin, I don't know why they got it. They don't deserve that. They ain't done nothing. Man, I'm doing good. I'm loving God. I'm going to church. Dude, I even got up on Time Change Sunday and you still ain't blessing me, God. He's like, come on, man. Come on. And you know this to be true, man. Look at James 3. Whenever people are jealous or they're selfish, they cause a lot of trouble. That can be in your house. That can be in your company. That can be in the church. That can be in our community. So what's the goal, Justin? What are we supposed to be doing, man? If you're struggling with it, I am. And if you're struggling with it, I'm sure you are. Here's what I'm trying to teach my kids. Here's what I'm trying to apply to myself. And please write this down and remember it. Trust God even when it's unfair. When you don't get the promotion, when you don't get the job, when you don't get the boat, you don't get the car, you don't get whatever it is, trust Him. And when you're envious of other people, let me tell you something. The battle is not with that person or that circumstance. It really is with God. It's a battle that you're having with God. I love this quote I ran across, and this is a pretty good one. You ready? Envy is the fever. Doubting God is the infection. So envy is what kind of reveals itself. You're like, man, I don't feel good because it begins to take you. But deep down inside, man, it is when you wonder, God, why? I don't trust you. I don't know what's going on. And here's the thing. You got to believe that if you don't have it, if you don't possess it, if it hasn't come your way, God has a reason for it happening. It's a reason that He's doing it. God is involved. God is not involved in pride. He's not involved in envy. He really is going, man, trust me. I got you. Now, when you start thinking about our lives, I want you to be very, very clear on this. I'm trying to teach our kids. I want you to know the same thing. Here are three things that God is not. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. He is not a slot machine. He is not a genie. And He is not a vending machine. And then you go, well, Justin, why did you put that up there? Well, sometimes you go, man, I've done good. I put my, you know, little token in the slot, man. Let's go. Jackpot. He's like, no, that ain't the way it works. You can't go and rub the little, you know, lantern and, all right, God, give me what I need. Or go to the vending machine and make your choice. I really want these things this time. He's like, no, it's not the way it works. I want you to trust me, and I want you to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. And trust that He has a plan for you. 17 years Simple Church has been without buildings. 17 years we've been setting up and tearing down. And through all of that, I would see people do this and do that. And I, if I'm honest, I'd be envious at times. I'm like, man, I can't believe we're still having to do this and what's going on. But in the truth of the matter, when you pull back and look at it, God was changing us. There was a reason we didn't have it then, because we were getting better. We were being humbled. We'll talk about that a little next week. It's this idea of saying, you know what? Trust me, I am God and I have a plan for you. It may not make sense right now, but trust me. I told you a little bit about our history with the music. We worked for Forefront Records back in 92. Me and Alan, one of the guys who plays in the Simple Church band, we went up to Nashville and we were going to be, you know, Christian music stars. We had come out of the bar scene playing bars and we'd gone into Christian music, and Christian music was just birthing at the time. And one of our friends, man, was up there. We had a lot of Shreveport guys up there, and we ended up working for a band called Jeff Moore in the Distance. Well, this record was called, record company was called Forefront Records. Well, me and Alan, we would go from place to place trying to make it. We'd play our songs, and hopefully we'd get signed and nobody would sign us. We'd go to the next place and no one would sign us. And then we became, everybody said, well, what did you do up in Nashville? I was a roadie, just like we're still doing here at Simple Church. We would just push equipment around, we would set up and we'd tear down. We'd go on the road and we would serve other bands. And there are moments in that you're going, all right, God, what are we doing here? Like, all right, God, what's the plan? What's the purpose? Well, now I look, when I can trust him in his plan, I can see where all of those experiences connected me with different people, including the Smallbones. For King & Country is one of the greatest, you know, Christian artists right now in today's time. Multi-Grammys. They got movies. They're partnered. They've even sung with Dolly Parton. Yep, that's right. Jimmy Allen. They've been with all kinds of unbelievable, talented people. Kirk Franklin. I could go on and on. But here's what's crazy. When you're navigating that and you see that success, what you don't see is what it took to get there. See, I know David Smallbone, their parents. I know Helen Smallbone. I know Rebecca St. James. And what you don't know is the struggle and the challenge and all the difficulties. They left from Australia without having anything. So all you do is you're envious of their career. You're envious of their success. And as a young Christian artist, I was there at times. But what you don't see is the reality of what's happening behind the scenes. And what I'm thankful that God was showing me and teaching me in all of this was just trust me. Trust me when it don't make sense, when you're not winning, when things aren't working out. Trust me, I love you. You can trust me. Just do what I ask you to do. And those three things are not easy. And this little movie, I'm going to play the trailer one more time in case you came in late, because what I want you to look for in this is exactly what I'm talking about. When I tell you that David Smallbone, here's their images so you can see them coming up here. This is the parents and this is Rebecca. When you see those images, one of the most talented Christian artists ever, Rebecca, she was one of the first female artists. The Smallbones, not possible without that, because Rebecca is Joel and Luke's big sister. She is how they got started in Christian music. Those parents made all those sacrifices in the midst of difficult times. They came from Australia. They went for it. And in all of those things, they were tempted to look at other people and be envious of what they have and wonder what God's doing. But now we look back and know God really did have a plan. Here's the trailer just so you can see it one more time. But look at the success. But don't forget what it took to get there. It was trusting God even when it didn't make sense. Watch.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
How y'all doing?
Are y'all from England?
Australia.
Australia.
Wish I had an accent.
Dad, I wrote a song. Thought maybe we could ask for an audition.
Oh, that's great, honey. Let's take it one step at a time.
Kay tells me you're a promoter. You know someone looking for one?
Well, I may know somebody who should be.
Been given a beautiful voice. It's a miracle.
She's a special one, son. Your family, they're not in the way. They are the way.
There's no food, and we're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help. This is everything we have, and sometimes it's going to grow, and sometimes it will shrink, but it cannot be allowed to disappear. I wonder if he's right. Maybe I'm not meant to sing. Or maybe you're not meant to sing other people's songs. It's going to be dangerous and scary. And giving up, giving in, it's not an option.
Whatever your dream is, I know you can achieve it.
Please welcome my big sister.
My dream is to be like you. It always has been.
I want a record deal.
So do I.
Yeah, well, boys, get in line.
Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Give them a little love. Coming out in April. April 26th, but they're going to be here on Easter, give you an exclusive behind-the-scenes talk, and you get to hear Rebecca sing as well. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, do not miss it. Hebrews 12:1, you ready for this? Let us run with patience the race that God has set before us. This particular race is just for you. It is God's plan for you. It's not anybody else's. He has you in mind. Be patient. Trust Him. Psalm 139:15, you saw me before I was born and you scheduled every day of my life before I even begin to breathe. God has a plan for you, man. You can trust Him. He is going to do something in your life, even when it doesn't make sense and everybody else has got everything going on, it appears. I'm telling you, you can trust Him. He loves you and He has a great plan for you. Would you pray with me? Father, I just come to you. I admit that I sin. Man, this is an area that I struggle with at times, and I just want you to change me, God. I'm sorry. I ask you to come into my life and help me through the power of the Holy Spirit to be different. Not to be comparing myself to other people and not to be full of pride or arrogance, but Lord, to be humble, to be a person, Lord, that trusts you no matter what. God, because I know that you love me and you have a plan for me. I pray if somebody doesn't know you today, God, that they would not see religion or church, that they would see the relationships that's available in you. Lord, that you love them just like they are. You want to save them. You want to change them. You want to give them a hope and a future. And if we'll just commit ourselves to you, Lord, admit our mistakes, believe that you are who you say you are, and commit ourselves to you, you will change us. So, Lord, when somebody's praying that in the theater, at home, wherever it is, hear them, God. Help them. Meet them right there. And help us to be different. Help us to be full of love. Lord, let that power come out of us that overcomes envy. Lord, that we wouldn't be that way at all. We would be so full of love, God, that it would change the community, our family, our workplaces, our schools, anywhere and everywhere we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? Come on.